Welcome to the Victory World Outreach Podcast. We pray this message brings encouragement and inspiration to your life.
I have a video. First of all, if you would turn over to Mark chapter 5. If you've got your Bibles, turn over to Mark chapter 5. And we've got a video clip. We can begin to get that ready. You know, I was talking with Chris last night about what's going on with Niles and all the details. And it's just, it's amazing how God is ordering that healing. And I have faith. I believe God's going to touch Rich. I've got enough faith just knowing that God's in control. But I can only imagine, have you ever stopped and thought for a second, how horrible that must be? I mean, Niles is the same age as my son. And I just picture finding your son unconscious, having to rush him to the hospital. I mean, it might feel like your world is crumbling, like everything is kind of coming down around you. And I just want to sort of preface this video with that. But if we can go ahead and play that whenever you're ready. Were you guys able to hear that? I'm going to read it very quickly just because I want to make sure. That was President George W. Bush. That was 3 days after September 11th when the Twin Towers were knocked down. That was him standing at Ground Zero in the midst of all the wreckage. They were still cleaning up. They were still finding people. There was still a lot happening there. And I'll just read it to you. He said, "I want you all to know that America today is on bended knee in prayer for the people whose lives were lost here, for the workers who work here, and the families who mourn." And someone off to the side said, "We can't hear you." And he said, "I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you, and the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon." And you know, that is such an inspiring speech to me. I'm kind of a sucker for speeches. And you know what I notice about that is he could have been in the White House behind a pulpit with an American flag reading a well-written speech off of a teleprompter. But you know what I believe was so inspirational? That was only about a minute long. But what really was awesome about that speech is that instead of being at the White House, he was down in the midst of the rubble, in the midst of all the problems there with the workers and the people that were dealing and trying to put things back together. He was right there in the middle of them. And I think that's what made that such a great moment and such a powerful speech. And you know, tonight, well, first of all, we're going to get down to pray. And as President Bush said, tonight is our opportunity to make sure the devil hears from us. And that was my first thought when I heard all these prayer requests after Pastor Jones preached such an awesome message about miracles and that we can go to God. What does the devil do? He attacks. I mean, I'm sure there's people here tonight. You have a need and you're facing something. Let's make sure the devil hears from us tonight when we get down and pray. But I want to look at a different area of wreckage in our lives, and it's found in Mark chapter 5. And in this story, Jesus is preaching to this huge crowd. I mean, he's got a crusade going. An awesome ministry is kind of being formed. He's got people thronging him. And so he tells the disciples after he's done preaching, "I want to get in the boat and I want to go across this lake and cross to the other side." So he's leaving the crowds and the ministry that's going on. And let's in Mark chapter 5 in verse 1, we pick up this story. And this is Mark 5, 1 through 15. It says, so they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of the Gadarenes. And when Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrists and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. Then when Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, and bowed low before him. With a shriek, he screamed, why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me. For Jesus had already said to the spirit, come out of the man, you evil spirit. Then Jesus demanded, what is your name? And he replied, my name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man. Then the evil spirits begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place. And there happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. Send us into those pigs, the spirits begged. Let us enter them. So Jesus gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out of the man and entered those pigs, and the entire herd plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. And the herdsmen fled to the nearby town and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. In verse 15, a crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. And he was sitting there fully clothed and perfectly sane. This is an awesome miracle. And I just want to look at this story and understand that, like I said, Jesus had an awesome ministry growing. He had people already coming to him. He had all the fame. He had, you know, his name was being spread throughout the region. But it's like he kind of took a turn and goes and seeks out this guy that many of us would probably seek to avoid. You know, we don't want to be around somebody that's like this guy. And yet Jesus goes and finds this guy directly. Why? It's because Jesus wanted to reach out to this man in the midst of the wreckage, in the midst of the rubble and the destruction that this man had in his life. And what I want us to understand tonight is that Jesus, yes, he had crowds of people that came to him. He had, you know, all throughout the Bible, he had tons of people. But also all throughout the Bible, Jesus was visiting people in the middle of their problem, in the middle of their mess. And that is where the heart of God is. And maybe you're here tonight and you have a mess in your life. I'm not necessarily talking about an outward mess, but many of us here, we have a mess going on inside of us. You might have people that spend time around you, and if I asked them, they'd say, yeah, they pretty much have it together. But between you and God, you know that in your heart, there it's a tangled, destructive mess of sin and helplessness and hopelessness. But I hope that you leave tonight understanding that's where God wants to do a miracle in your life. If I can tell anything to you about who God is and what the heart of God is, it's that God is willing to step down in the wreckage, in the very hour, in the darkest moment of our need. God is willing to step down in there and heal you and take you out of that wreckage. The greatest example of this, I want to read a few scriptures, starting with John chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17. Well-known scripture. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. This shows the heart of God. This was God. You might think to yourself, man, I am not like the guy in Mark chapter 5. And maybe you're not outwardly. But you know what? God saw the need of all of us. He saw the need of the entire world and sent his Son Jesus to die for our sins and to give us an opportunity to be set free from that need. whatever it is that you're struggling with tonight. But there's a problem that happens, and especially with Christians, especially with church-going people. And Pastor Jones mentioned it on Sunday that oftentimes, instead of going to God and just giving him our mess, coming before him and saying, God, here's everything I've got, all the good, the bad, and the ugly, we try and take it upon ourselves to fix it on our own. Whether it's, you know, sometimes we'll hide it. You might be in ministry. You might be a prayer warrior tonight. You might be super involved in a church. But all the while, we're trying to take care of our own wreckage. Maybe it's by being good enough. We think, hey, if I do enough work for God, if I serve enough, if I'm faithful enough to church. But there's a problem with that, and it's found in Romans chapter 8, verse 3 through 4. There's a problem with that plan. It says the law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So if I pause right there, the law of Moses, that's basically the Ten Commandments. It's kind of like saying, well, we're just going to be good enough. We're going to reach a certain level and keep a certain standard in our lives, and that's going to make me kind of pull me out of this wreck. You're coming from a place of addiction or habits in your life, and you're thinking, as long as I hold to a certain standard, as long as I'm avoiding that and I'm doing good enough, I'm going to make it. And yet, many of us, all of us that have had addictions in our lives, know that after a while, you know, the devil brings temptation, we slip up, and where do we find ourselves? Right back in the same mess we started in. No progress made, just time wasted. Time wasted trying to do things on our own. So we can't just try and meet a standard, because that sin nature brings us back to a place of wreckage in our lives. And the wreckage is even worse, because until we come to a place where we realize we can't do it on our own. But praise God, God gave us an answer to that. And it continues, God did what the law could not do, or what you and I can't do. He sent his own son in a body, like the bodies that we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. Amen. He steps down into our mess. He doesn't say, I want you to get all cleaned up, fix all your issues, put away all of your own stuff, and then maybe you can darken the door of the church and I won't strike you down with lightning, right? No, he doesn't say that. He steps down right where we're at, in the midst of everything we're dealing with, and he does what the law cannot do. In verse 4, it says, he did this so that the just requirement of that law would be fully satisfied for us, who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Praise God for that. You know, I believe that's a revelation for all of us tonight. You don't have to try and meet a standard on your own. You don't have to fulfill some high up bar that's set that's impossible to reach. It's about what Jesus did. Amen. He took that out of our hands. Amen. And we no longer have to follow our sinful nature, but now we're able to follow the Spirit. And people that are lost in wreckage, that's all they want. When before we're saved, all we're thinking is, God, how do I not only get saved? How do I not only give my life to you? But now, how do I keep from going back to that dark place? How do I keep from falling back and making a wreck and a mess out of my life again? It's really counterintuitive. It's by letting go. Let go and let God do what he does. Amen? Just like Jesus did in this story, he left behind all the glitz and the glam of the crowds, and he set his foot on an island where he knew this man was a wreck. And that's what God does for us. Salvation is a personal experience between you and Jesus, where you come before God with all of your mess and all of your brokenness, and you say, God, whether I've never been saved, maybe you've been saved before, you've prayed a prayer of salvation, but many times we come before God and we say, God, I'm just giving this to you, and I ask you to step down into my life and help me. And he does that. He does the same for us in Psalm chapter 40, verse 2 and 3. It says, he lifts me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire, and he sets my feet on solid ground, and he steadied me as I walked along. Amen. There's nothing like when God takes you out of the mud and the mire of your life. And then he sets you on solid ground. That's what it was talking about, that we're no longer bound to sin, but now we're living for God. And then it says he steadies us as we walk along. He doesn't just save you, clean you up, and say, okay, be good, and leaves. But he walks with us every day, every moment, through the wreckage, through the hard times. That's who Jesus is. And in verse 3, this is how we can walk out of this place tonight. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. And many will see what he has done and be amazed, and they will put their trust in the Lord. That's what I'm calling on all of us to do tonight. I'm not just talking to a group of perfect people. Every single one of us, we have things in our lives that bring wreckage, that bring sin into our lives. We have temptations, we have habits, things that we deal with. And the call of God tonight is to put your trust in the Lord. Amen. And then finally, I want to bring this to a close. Shelby, you can start to make your way up. The beautiful thing, you know, sometimes we think, I want to be set free, but it's not just sin. I've turned my back on God. Sometimes we're responsible for our own wreckage. It's like I talked about, we fall away from God and we make the same stupid mistake, that same thing that we always do, and we fall away and we feel like our life is wrecked. And we think, how could God, has anyone else ever thought that? God, how could you, you don't even feel worthy of praying. You feel dirty even coming before God because you know the attitude, or you know the wreckage that you've caused in your own life. You know what's wonderful and how loving God is God's heart is to set you free. Even when you brought destruction on yourself, even when we bring wreckage into our own life, he wants to set us free. And I close with this scripture, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Look at how loving and how willing God is. It says, come now, let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Though they are as red like crimson, I will make them as white as wool. If you will only obey me, you'll have plenty to eat. And then in verse 27, it says, Zion will be restored by justice. And watch this, those who repent will be revived by righteousness. We've got to catch that, being revived by righteousness. We think of righteousness or being a righteous person. Like I said, we think of it as there's this high standard. There's this bar of perfection that we have to work so hard to reach. But I love the way this scripture says, righteousness is when we invite God into our hearts, mess and all, destruction and chaos and all that we've got. And we say, God, I just give you my heart. I surrender to you. And he makes us righteous. He takes all of that filth and all of that sin, all of that brokenness out of our lives. And the righteousness that he gives us is what revives us. That's what helps us walk out of this place and say, I can make it another day. I can serve God tomorrow despite all the other things going on, because it's God's righteousness that revives you tonight. And I believe he's going to do that for us. Amen. If you would bow your heads and close your eyes with me. In just a moment, we're going to get down and we're going to pray together and take some time to pray. But before I do that, I want to make a call for those tonight that you heard this message and you heard about the wreckage. And as I talk about that, you're thinking of things in your own life. Maybe there's sin in your heart. Maybe there's mistakes that you've made and you're a really great person, but there are certain areas of your life that you just can't seem to get through or get past. And you know what? Tonight is your night. God is going to revive you in his righteousness. He is going to set you free. That's what he came to do. He didn't come to condemn the world, but that through Jesus Christ, the world might be saved. And that's you tonight. And you'd say, you know what? I don't have a relationship with Jesus, but I would love it if he would step in the midst of my heart, in the midst of my mess, and save me. If that's you tonight, all over this place, would you put your hand up? This is just between you and God. Amen. I see these hands. Lots of hands. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. How many more? You're just inviting Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior. Amen. It's just a decision between you and God tonight. We're going to pray with you. I see these hands. God bless you. Hallelujah. Let's all stand in this place. I'm going to invite in just a moment. I'm going to open up these altars, but whether you've never been saved, or maybe you're here, you're a Christian, you've been saved before, but you know what happens? Even the most saved person, if we allow sin in our lives, it creates a wreck. And we can be back in that place. And sometimes it's even lower because we know what's right. And we know we shouldn't have done that thing, or we shouldn't have had that attitude, or we shouldn't have made that decision. But you know what God is saying tonight? If you'll give that to me, I'll help you. I'll meet you right down there in that mess, and I'll save you. And so I want to open up these altars. If you raised your hand, there were many hands. Just begin to make your way down. Maybe you're that person and you've made some mistakes and you just want to invite God into your heart to cleanse you. Just begin to make your way down. These altars are open. Amen. Small group leaders, if you can help me pray, we're going to praise God. See these people receive Jesus into their hearts. I'm going to open these altars for everybody. We're going to take some time to pray. Maybe you are saved and you're in a relationship with God, but you're struggling with something tonight. There's an area that God has put his finger on that he's dealing with in you. And it feels like you're in the middle of a wreckage in your life. I'm telling you, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you, the Bible says. We're going to take time to pray here at the altar. You can pray at your seat. Just begin to pray, and in just a little while, we'll come together and we'll close. But let's get before God honestly and open in our hearts, and he'll move in us tonight.
Thanks again for joining us. If you like this message, subscribe to our podcast channel for more episodes. We would love it if you would rate it and share it with your friends. For more content from Victory World Outreach, and to learn more about us or to support this ministry, go to vwonow.com.